The Americas.
Haiti's crisis. The first small steps. Haiti's new presidential council must go to work amid gang violence and hunger.
1 month ago, Haiti's Prime Minister, Ariel Henry, despised at home and stranded abroad, agreed to hand over power to a transitional presidential council. It was to be formed according to a plan drawn up by CARICOM, the 15-member Caribbean community and other powers, including the United States. On April 7th, the 9-member council finally submitted a political agreement to Mr. Henry for approval. His vestigial government's assent will let the violence-racked country move forward. As The Economist went to press, that had not yet happened. Only once it does and a decree is published in Haiti's official gazette, Le Moniteur, can the council finally start work. Haiti desperately needs some form of authority beyond the anarchic rule of the gangs. The country of 11.6 million people has been chaotic since July 2021, when Jovenel Moïse, the then president, was murdered in his residence. The situation reached a new low in early March when gangs went on the rampage, while Mr. Henry was out of the country blocking his return. The airport in Port-au-Prince has been too dangerous to use since then. No cargo moves through the main port, a terrible problem in a country which is a net importer of food. More than 40% of Haitians do not have enough to eat. Thousands are displaced, getting in and out of Port-au-Prince to Cap Haïtien in the north, where Haiti's other international airport is still operating, requires a helicopter. The next steps are fraught. Members of the presidential council drawn from Haiti's political parties, civil society and businesses have to set aside their rivalries to appoint a council leader, a prime minister and a council of ministers, in other words, a government. But the process by which the presidential council would take office is unclear. They may have to be physically present in the Champ de Mars area of Port-au-Prince, where Haiti's most important institutions sit. Gangs roam the vicinity. Still, the members' political agreement is a step forward. It states that the transitional government will rule until February 7, 2026, at which point an elected government will take over. In the meantime, it recognises the need for the externally imposed transitional government to build legitimacy inside Haiti and to curb the violence so that free elections can take place. The agreement contains a provision to create an oversight body comprised of representatives from different areas of the country to give the transitional government domestic legitimacy. Haitians do not like the fact that the transition was imposed on their country by foreign powers. Some reckon a judge should be heading the transitional arrangement, as provided for in one interpretation of Haiti's constitution, though the judicial system is bereft to an extent that relying on the constitution is fraught. Gwesi Jean, a 42-year-old resident of Port-au-Prince, says the presidential council is not going to solve anything. He prefers the rival council, headed by Guy Philippe, a former senator with a criminal record. The political accord also provides for a Truth, Justice and Reparations Commission. The hope is that it will act as a mechanism to deal with gang members who have been understandably excluded from the transitional council, but with whom communication remains essential due to the power they now hold over the country. The Transitional Council's most important job is reimposing security and managing the role of foreign countries in that process. CARICOM and the United States made acceptance of the UN-authorized security mission a condition of membership of the Council. Kenya has agreed to lead the mission. But many Haitians don't like it either, not least because it was Mr. Henry's idea. It was seen as a way to prop up his rule. The political accord calls for the transitional government to create a National Security Council that will determine the parameters of the UN mission. Foreign forces are unlikely to arrive immediately. Canada is training police from Caribbean countries in Jamaica in preparation. The United States government is trying to get Congress to approve $300 million of the money that the government has promised for the mission. So far, only $11 million of the $600 million pledged by all countries backing the mission is funded. There is no sign of barracks being built in Haiti, a job which the US Department of Defense has offered to do. Kenya's leaders have been quiet since March when its foreign minister said it would delay the deployment of its security force until the transitional government was in place. The situation in Haiti has worsened dramatically since the force was authorized. Parachuting in police risks creating a war zone, warns Jake Johnston of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, a think tank in Washington. Meanwhile, the Haitian police are outnumbered and outgunned. James Boyard, a Haitian security expert, says they need equipment, particularly armored vehicles, submachine guns, precision rifles and drones. Training is required too. The police themselves can be corrupt and violent. Some see them as just another gang, but have proved effective at fending off the gangs in some areas, such as around the National Palace. On April 8th, demolition works began on houses near the airport, from which gang members have taken pot shots at inbound aeroplanes with a view to restarting flights. The council has its work cut out. If it falters, gang members will capitalise, especially if the security mission threatens to destroy them, but looks weak. Still, after Mr. Henri's hopeless administration and the deluge of violence in the past 6 weeks, any small steps the council can take will be an improvement.